Turn in your scripture to Luke chapter 1, and while you're turning there, I'm going to read another verse. So you turn to Luke chapter 1, I'll read another verse. Mark 9:23, while you're turning to Luke chapter 1, 9:23 says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible for him who believes. Now, if you read the context in Mark, I mentioned this during worship a little bit earlier. A man is bringing his son, and the disciples can't handle the situation. And the man is struggling because his son has these issues with this demonic stuff that's throwing him down. And sometimes he says it's thrown him into the fire and these kind of things. And this is recorded in a couple of the Gospels, maybe three. And the guy is just, you know, but in Mark, he says, if you can, to Jesus. And Jesus is a little, you know, if you can, nothing is impossible. Everybody say, nothing is impossible. Yeah. Nothing is impossible. And this was that response that Jesus gave him. It seemed to the man like maybe it was just impossible. There are a lot of things out there that seem that way to us. And the man goes on, by the way, to say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I've said that quite a few times in my life. And I probably should say it more. You know, confession is good for the soul. If I'm having a hard time believing that God can do something, maybe it's time for me to believe that God can do something, and he's going to have to help me sometimes. How many of you need help believing? Absolutely. We all do. So the main idea of the Mark scripture is there isn't anything that God can't do. But now we're going to look at Luke. And I've talked about this before, but I wanted to refresh our memory. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, if you're there. And just a little bit here. Again, I'll tell the story, but I won't read a large portion. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Say, nothing will be impossible. Now, this is in response to Mary's question. It comes from God, but through the voice of an angel. And she's asking, how can she become the mother of the Savior without knowing a man? It's like, how's that going to work? I don't think she was so much, some people said, you know, maybe she had a little doubt. I don't think it was so much doubt. She was just, I think that was more of, not that I'm doubting, Lord, but I don't know how, I mean, I've been told how this works, and I'm not working it right now. So, you know, how's this going to happen? And that's sometimes what we struggle with. How can this thing even work? I mean, I don't even see how stuff can work sometimes. It's like, this isn't going to work the way I was expecting it to work. And the angel's response is not, with God, all things are possible. The response is, with God, nothing is impossible. Sounds like the same thing almost, but it's not. When you think it's better, but it's not. It's something else. Some of you remember that commercial, and others, you're just going, like, there he goes again, being old. Okay, so The idea in Mark is that when God is brought into the picture, when God is introduced into the situation, that things can be accomplished. And the idea in the Luke passage is that when God is brought into the picture, things cannot remain the same. And you got to think about this a little bit. It still might sound like the same thing, but it's not. When God's introduced into the picture, anything is possible. And when God is introduced into the picture, things cannot remain the same. You got it? Because sometimes we think, well, God could do it, but we don't think he's going to do something. I'd like to suggest that anytime God is brought into the picture, something's going to happen. It may not be what you expect to happen. It may go completely against what you plan to have happen. But something's going to happen. I didn't know I was going to share this testimony. I'm a little hesitant to share this testimony, but I don't want it to sound wrong. So take it. Take it as best you can. You just have to put up with the fact. Okay, so some of you know that Lisa and I have, you know, we had some family go on to be with Jesus, and we've gotten some blessing as an inheritance. And some of you know, as a result, we ended up with a nice new truck, which I drove today. I was really happy to get to drive my truck. And the reason I got to drive my truck is because we got Lisa a new car. It was not what we were planning on doing. Some of you know that I was planning on getting a second truck. And the good folks at Mark Motes had told me that there was a second truck coming, and they allowed me to put money down on the second truck that was coming, even though somebody else ordered it, and then he canceled his order. And then, this is the thing. God does these things, and he messes up my plans because he's got better plans. How many of you know that's true? Okay, so my plan was to get another truck because I really like the Maverick. I really like getting 50 miles a gallon with a truck. It's nuts. So I was happy. I was going to order another truck. When they told me I couldn't have, they told me about a second truck, but then they told me, well, we don't think we can give that one to you. And Ford's kind of, we don't know what's going on. I said, well, okay, when do truck orders open? And they told me. And then I was talking to them another time, and they said, you know that, I said, whatever happened with that truck? And they said, well, you know, we're still expecting it to come in. I said, really? I said, has it spoken for? And they said, no. I said, I'll take it. He says, come down there and put some money down on it. I was down there in 15 minutes. One that then was nicer than Lisa's truck, too, by the way. Really nice. Well, so I'm getting this truck, and the window for opening, for ordering a new truck, which would have taken a year anyway, it takes forever to get one of these things. The window opened, and I didn't order a 2023 because I was already going to get a 2022, and so the window came and went 5 days, by the way. All the trucks that they're going to make for 2023 were sold in 5 days. That's a popular little vehicle. And so then a few days later, they call me up, and they say, hey, Mr. Hacker, we're sorry, but you can't have that truck. What? I've been dreaming of my truck. I want my truck. It's going to be hot pepper red. It's going to be cool. You can't have the truck. I wanted to yell at somebody. Have you ever wanted to yell at people when you're disappointed? Holy Spirit got a hold of me and said, don't do it. First thing that came into my head was disappointment, his appointment. Change one letter, then I see that the thwarting of my purpose is God's better choice for me. See, I knew God was in this somewhere. I just had to find him. See, it wasn't that it wasn't possible to get a truck, but God had a better idea. So with God, nothing is impossible. That means God's up to something. What are you up to, God? So then we started looking at what would it cost to replace the truck with a vehicle that looks the same as the is built on the same platform as the truck, but it's an SUV. Would Lisa like the SUV? Of course she would. Would you let me have my truck back if you get the SUV? Of course you would. So we ordered an SUV. And then, this is going to be a long one, sorry, but, and then she said, what color did you get me? And I said, well, it's Atlas Blue. And she says, what does that look like? And I tried to show her, and there wasn't one here for me to show her. And so I'm on my way home the other day from Southern Ohio, taking her mama back to her brother in Columbus and met there, and I'm on my way back, and I think to myself, you know, if I stop at the big dealership in Lima, I'll bet they'll have an Atlas Blue on the parking lot someplace. I can take a picture of it, and then she can see the color. So I stop. Sure enough, there's an Atlas Blue. In fact, it was an Atlas Blue Escape, which is what we had ordered. Okay. So I start taking pictures, and of course, you're on the parking lot. Who's going to come out and see you? A salesman. He comes out and he goes, oh, and we start talking hybrids, and I tell him the long story that I told you about getting cheated out of my truck. Still trying to get over that. And he says, well, you know, he says, I might have a hybrid you could have. I says, hello? We go in, and he sits down. No, that one went already. So I was thinking I had the chance of the truck still. Nope, gone. He says, but you know, we did get something last night. You ought to at least look at it. I said, what did you get last night? He goes, we got a Fusion plug-in hybrid that was a 2019, and it has 3,000 miles on it. An old man had it. I said, be careful what you're saying there, boy. Anyway, they show me this car. It is amazing. And now it's sitting out there. It is amazing. And I'm thinking, but my wife likes, you know. But when she saw the car, she's like, this is mine. I got my truck back. We bought the car. Now you're thinking to yourself, what about the car you ordered? That's going to be more of a story for down the road. It's going to be part of the testimony, and I can't wait to see how it's going to play out. But here's the thing. We wouldn't even have looked at that had that guy not told me about it. And I walked in literally hours after it had been brought back to the dealership because the gentleman who had passed away, his son, sold it to the dealership, back to the dealership. And I got it for a really good price. And it has more stuff on it than any car we've ever had in our lives. And Lisa loves it. And she said it's the most comfortable seat she's ever sat in a car. Now, I know it's not, you know, it's not a Porsche. It's not a Cadillac. It's not the fanciest car out there. But for us, it's a huge blessing. And it was way less than the vehicle we ordered. And it's got less miles on it than my truck. It's amazing. God sometimes is up to something. And yes, God can do all things, but sometimes he's up to something where he's doing something, and we need to see what he's doing, and we need to come alongside of what he's doing so that he can do what he wants to do, because he wants to bless us more than we even know with things we haven't even thought of yet. It's the only reason I tell that story. And I've seen that over and over and over. The youth have heard too many times how I passed up a bunch of really pretty girls to get the most pretty girl. Because God had a better idea than I had. God is like that. So with God, nothing is impossible. God is up to something. Bring the name of Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit into every situation. Let God bring those things to us that he wants to bring to us. Because he's got better ideas than we do. And by the way, just in case you're wondering, well, what about Mark Motes? They're going to get cheated out of a sale. No, they're not. And that's a testimony for later. God has called us to bring him into every situation. How many of you know he told us to let our light shine? I'll read it to you again just in case you've forgotten it. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world. Look at somebody next to you and say, you light up my life. Oh, that was easy for John and Bree. So the question becomes, where do we let our light shine? Now, I'm going to zero in on one thing today, but this is not the only thing. But just because of the time of year it is, just because of the season that our earth, our planet, our nation really mainly, I should say, is in, this is a good time for me to zero in on one thing. I want to talk to you about a specific place where your light could shine. The polls. What? Rhetorical question. You can respond, but you don't have to respond. Don't respond in a way that you'll embarrass yourself. Do you think God will be well represented at the polls this year? Some of you are, well, usually pastors try to avoid these kind of subjects. You know that, right? Some of them are even taught to avoid them in schools. So today I'm going to risk being a little political. So that's going to be the title of today's message when people tune in. A little political. But maybe it's not going to be what you think. Do you know that Jesus was political? He was the most political person who ever walked on the planet. What? Absolutely. You're thinking, what do you mean? I've seen politicians. Jesus was not like the politicians I know. You're right, he wasn't. I've said this to you before, maybe you've forgotten. The original intent behind the word politics was of and for the people. It was about the people. It was about taking care of people. It was about people getting together and deciding what was good for the people. Not just one person, and not just the majority, by the way. There are some people who want to go to what they call pure democracy, where it's mob rule. That's why our founders did it different than they had seen done elsewhere, where they tried to do that and everybody voted. So if everybody voted that your pocketbook was going to be picked, you lost all you had. That's pure democracy. We don't want that. Thank God for our republic. Jesus was so political that he gave everything for the people. He was the man who was of and for the people, unlike any man who's ever lived, beyond what any man could ever attain. These days, most politicians say they're for the people. Maybe they even intend to be for the people. And then they get to Washington, and it changes. And even this kind of bothers me sometimes, because some politicians say, I'm going to bring back the bacon to our... Don't bring me back the bacon. I'll go get my own bacon. Make sure that you guys aren't taking bacon from somebody you shouldn't be. That's what bothers me about politicians today. They're all trying to get your vote by buying it with promises they never keep anyway. Have you noticed? Okay. Yeah. John's up here saying, stimulus check. You know, there were politicians that weren't good politicians in Jesus' day too. The Bible talks about them and Jesus called them out. They were called Pharisees and Sadducees. And they were a lot, by the way, like the two-party system we have today. I could spend some time there, but let's not. The only thing they had in common was their hatred of the politics of Rome. They had reason to hate it in many ways too, but that was the only thing they had in common. Jesus said something interesting, though, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. How many of you know what leaven does? Yeah, a little of that and spreads and causes trouble. But leaven's not always a bad thing. Luke 13, 20-21 says, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leavened. You can also find that not only in Luke 13, but you can find it in Matthew 13. Jesus wasn't against politics. He was just against the wrong kind of politics. Does that make sense? Okay. So, we who have experienced the kingdom of God should be like leaven. This world needs our leaven. We should influence everything around us toward the kingdom of God, the goodness of God. John 3:16 and 17, we're all so familiar with 3:16. I'm going to add 17 to it for a little context. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. And then Jesus said, the things that I do, you'll do also, and greater things because I go to the Father. We're supposed to be here to help these people out. We're supposed to be here for the people. So now, look at somebody next to you and say, you're for the people. Now tell them that makes you a politician. That's not the Holy Spirit making you shake. Yeah, I get it. Have you noticed that there's a new terminology for some important people in the world today? They call them influencers. You heard of these influencers? A lot of influencers on the internet. Yeah, being an influencer can make you a lot of money today. Talk about Pharisees and Sadducees. Not all of them are bad. But that influencer thing, that's your job. That's my job. We're supposed to be influencers. And what's our influence that we bring with us? The presence of God. The goodness of God. He's inside of you, and he's just trying to get out. He's just trying to get you to let him just come out. So what percentage of Christians do you think vote? Now, I'm really going to mess with you on the nitty-gritty, so keep your mouth shut so nobody knows whether you do or do not participate in this voting thing. Just shh. Don't tell anybody if you don't. Don't shout it real loud if you do like you're some maniac. Give everybody a break here. I've heard numbers. I've heard some people say that the number of believers who actually cast votes could be as low as 25% in some elections. That only 25% of those who are Christians will get out and vote. I did do some research trying to figure out whether that was a good number or not. And according to a couple of different resources I found who have done the research, some Christian groups, about 90 million Christians are able, are at a place where they would be able to vote in the United States of America. And they figure about 40 million fail to vote. In the presidential election cycles, that's not even the off years. 40 million don't vote in the presidential election cycles. And 15 million are not even registered to vote. I told Marlene I was going to talk about this one of these days, and I asked her, is it too late to register to vote? And she said, yes, in Ohio for this election, it's too late to register to vote. So I want to make sure I tell you right now, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are not registered to vote that are in this room or listening. I don't want to condemn anybody. This is meant to stir us. How many of you know sometimes we stir people up to do something? I want to stir God's people up because you're influencers. You're a big deal. What you do makes a difference. It's a known fact that in off-year elections, smaller percentages of all people vote. So it's possible that the Christian vote is much smaller than it could be, and definitely smaller than it should be. Now again, people say, stay out of politics. Danger, danger. There might be some wisdom in that, by the way. How you approach it, what you do. After all, politics can divide. Of course, Jesus said something about coming to divide. He said, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth, but a sword. And I'll divide members of the same household. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go out there and get your political whatever sign and slam it in the face of the, you know, family member who is opposite you on the political spectrum. I'm not telling you to do that at all. And there can be wisdom in how we do what we do because we want to remember that our first and foremost responsibility is to bring good news. It's called the gospel. It's our job. So I won't be able to balance this whole message and answer everybody's question on every little tangent that I might be creating in your little head. Sorry. But I think Christians need to be leaven, and I don't believe Christians can be effective as leaven if we are literally completely missing from the political process. Does that make sense to anybody but me? Like, if we don't vote, at least that little thing, which no one knows what your vote is unless they know you and they know your principles and they know they're opposite your principles and then they know what you're doing. But still, and they should kind of know what you're doing. But still, it's important. So there's this guy named Mike Huckabee. Some of you have heard of him, haven't you? He was governor of Arkansas for a while and ran for president. I believe he's a believer. He said, "Do you do your dishes? Because if you don't do your dishes and you just turn your back on it, the stack of dishes is only going to grow. And the stench from all your dirty dishes is only going to grow. So what you've got to do is roll up your sleeves and do the dishes." He was talking about politics. He was just making a metaphor. The American politics that most of us have experienced has gotten kind of dirty, hasn't it? Yeah, it has. And it's a mess that needs cleaned up. It's full of darkness. And what are you? Light. So what would happen if every believer voted? What would happen if every kingdom influencer exercised kingdom influence? Last week, some of you will remember, I shared a testimony from Don Sturiano, my friend down in Florida, he parked himself in a hotel room for a few days and just worshiped God and sought after the Lord. And toward the end of that, he goes down to do a workout and he ends up meeting a guy while they're waiting on an elevator together, and the guy notices his shirt and he says Route 66, and they start talking. Don's always wanted to ride his motorcycle on Route 66, and the other guy was, you know, just a guy who liked old cars, and they start talking, and they're talking moments, not very long, and the guy starts crying. Remember I told you this last week? And then he says, "I need Jesus," to Don. What does that have to do with cars and motorcycles? Nothing. But Don had been spending several days just in God's presence. And the presence of God was on him and it was leaking out. And the guy gets touched while they're going up to the third floor in the elevator. And when they get off the elevator, they pray some more because the hall's empty. And then they walk down the hall and Don walks into his room, and right next to him is the other guy in the next room. You are leaven, whether you say or do much of anything. You are leaven. Just the presence of God is on you. And if you'd walk around realizing it is, and acting like it is, and feeling good about the fact that it is, and smiling like you really believe it, and just being you, and just being glad to be you, because God made you to be special, and He made you to be an influencer, and He made you to leak all over everything, for you to leaven everything. Things like that can happen to all of us. And God knows that nothing is impossible, because wherever you go, something's happening. And if you introduce Jesus and the name of Jesus into the situation, something can happen. I'm not saying run down to the polls and yell, "Jesus!" Oh no, you might get down there and find yourself just feeling the presence of the Lord super powerful. And if you did, what would happen? I don't know. Maybe somebody would get healed at the polls. Lord knows some of them people who are voting need healed. Oh, I'm back into politics again. Sorry. What if God did something like that at the polls? Or what if you're just voting and the guy next to you just suddenly doesn't even know why, but he changes his vote? just because you're in the room? Or what if you just walked down to the polls? My wife and I got in the habit. We may get back out of the habit now, but when my parents were with us for several years, hard for them to go down to the polls and vote. So we started doing the absentee process, which is a very specific process. So it's not like just mail-in voting. And then when we would get done, we would bring the ballots. We would get the ballots. We'd sit down with mom and dad, talk about what we were going to do, fill them out. Then we'd take them all together, put them in the envelopes properly, take them down. Then, you know, when you get there, they slit them open. They make sure everything's signed properly. They make sure you're who you say you are. They want everything to be just, it's really a nice thing. And I kind of like voting while I'm sipping on a hot tea. Just relaxed and thinking about what I'm voting for. Anybody intimidated by the machines they have now? Some of you are, some of you aren't. No, it's okay. I mean, you know, it's not like it used to be. But we did that. Then when I went down to the polls, I voted already, by the way. And then when we went down to the polls, they opened up our envelopes. They made sure everything was perfect and said, okay, thank you, Mr. Hacker. We'll take care of that. And right there was another guy signing up, you know, and it was just nice. We had a nice conversation. And I blessed them. I said, bless you people who work at the polls. God bless you. I hope you guys just have a wonderful day here today. And they smiled and it was nice. What if the believers were there in such force, such numbers, that the presence of God was being manifest in the place and people were getting touched and changed? What if some of them started to change the way they felt about what they were going to vote for because suddenly they just felt like they couldn't do that anymore and they didn't know why? Because the presence of God and the Spirit of God goes with you. You know that, right? Do you believe that? With God, and you're with God, nothing is impossible. I recently heard Bill Johnson say that the idea that I only have one vote and it means very little is a cop-out. I agree with him. He went on to say this, so this sums it up very nicely. Every act of obedience of a believer releases presence and power. There is no such thing as a single solitary act that is insignificant. He went on to say, don't tell me that you pray for the government and then you don't vote. Your prayer is meaningless to me. Pray and act. There's prayer and obedience. We have a responsibility as citizens to vote values, not personalities. I liked it, so that I'd read it to you, because I agree with it. Even if we set aside the power of God, the possible impact that the presence of God with us could have when we go to the polls, just voting our values will have an incredible effect on what happens in our nation. Will it not? If you can't do any more than just see that, see, you know, the supernatural fact that God walks in you in the supernatural and that you may have an effect on people that you don't even know you're having. Maybe you just don't have faith for that right now, but at least admit with me that if all of the 90 million Christians went out and voted, do you think it would have an effect? I know it's not convenient sometimes, and I will confess my failure in the past to vote sometimes. Just got busy. Yeah, Marlene's making me feel bad, but she should. I should feel bad. I repent. Sackcloth and ashes. Well, you know, more Christians voting would automatically be more powerful. But I believe that Bill is right, that there's a significance to this that goes beyond us just casting our vote. I believe there's a significance to this that goes beyond us just casting our vote. I believe there's a significance to this that will cause there to be a shift. So here I am talking to a single congregation. Are we going to be able to make much of a difference? You better believe it. Because if we start to move with the Spirit, things can happen that affect more than just our local polls. And if we begin to move with the Spirit in these things and we affect other believers, who knows, this could spread across the land. And all of a sudden, what if the polls became a revival center? Oh, well, that's never going to happen. Who says it's never going to happen? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So don't skip it. I just wanted to say today, if you need help, we've got people who can help you. You need a ride, I'm going to block off that Tuesday. If I have to go pick a bunch of people up and take them, I'll do it. One at a time. And I know people who can help you if you're already registered. If you're not registered, it's a little tough right now. But if you're already registered, you've got questions, I know people who can help you with the questions. And encourage your friends and fellow believers from other congregations to pray and then to act on those prayers. And you don't need to tell them who to vote for. Just tell them, listen to the Holy Spirit. Just pray and obey. Now, I know I've gotten a little political because I've applied this to one thing. But what if it's true about everything? What if it's true about everything? You go into the coffee shop. You go into the restaurant. You go into the car repair place. You go onto the dealer's lot. Everywhere you go, you're just oozing with God's goodness. You're just leaking God's presence. And you remember it just for a moment while you're there. You just think about the fact that, hey, I represent God to the world that I'm in right now. I'm representing God at work. I'm representing God everywhere I go. Let your light shine. And it can have a powerful effect on everything around us in the world we live in. Because you are the light of the world. I have this feeling somebody doesn't want to vote. I don't want to vote. I didn't say you had to. I said it's powerful if you do. Well, I don't want to represent God in the coffee shop. I just want my coffee. Doesn't sound the same, does it? Yeah. All right. So, take the hand of somebody next to you if you can. If you can't, just stay where you are. I'm not going to make you get up, move around. Some of you want to move around. That's okay, too. Pastor Tim, he's so mean. Father God, sometimes your plans do not look like ours. Sometimes your plans are the farthest thing from what we thought we wanted to do. Sometimes we have got this thing figured out. And Lord, nothing is impossible with you. When we bring you into the situation, something amazing and something good is going to happen. I believe, God, that something amazing and something good is going to happen in my life today because you've got plans for me that I haven't figured out yet. I believe you've got plans for everyone in this room. I believe, Lord, you're directing our steps. I believe, Lord, you're changing our hearts to make them more like you. I believe, Lord, that there is so much that you have for us that we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of. And in some cases, Lord, we might miss if we don't repent. So I pray, Lord, that there will be a real repentance. Not just, I'm sorry that went that way, but a, Lord, change my mind. Make me to see what you want to do, and then help me to do it. Knowing that when I follow through in faith, nothing is impossible. And I thank you for all this, Father, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.